You are now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Newnan. A Place of Refuge Newnan is located in the city of Newnan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us, to receive exclusive information and updates, be sure to download our church app, A Place of Refuge Newnan, or visit our church website at apor-newnan.org. Now, let's join in for today's message.
And we want to consider verse number 10 on tonight, Job, the 23rd chapter. And for our consideration, we are looking again at verse number 10. Notice the words of Job very carefully on tonight. Are y'all ready? You have it? Notice Job carefully on tonight. Job says, but he knows the way that I take. Notice that he is capitalized because Job is referring to our sovereign one, our sovereign God, the Most High. And notice again, Job says, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Whoa, what a good text tonight. But he knows the way that I take. When he has, notice carefully, tested me. When he has tested me. Notice, I shall come forth as gold. Job knows that the test is beneficial if he can hold fast, or what I want to use tonight, if he can pass the test. If he can pass the test, Job knows or understands that it equates his betterment. Notice, because he's going to come forth as gold. And so based upon that, on tonight, I want us to have the same mind as Job. And if we don't have it tonight, I want us to come into it on tonight. And tonight's subject is personal again, but he knows the way that I take. And when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. I want to teach from the subject tonight. I got to pass this test. I got to pass this test. I got to pass this test. If you don't mind, look at a neighbor if it be true tonight. Tell him or her, I got to pass this test. Look at somebody else tonight and share with him or her, I'm going through some things tonight. And it is of the utmost importance that I pass this test. Give God a praise if that rings true for you on tonight. What you're going through, you got to pass this test. Got to do it. Come on, somebody. I got to do it. I got to pass this test. When it comes to a test, I want us to understand four things in particular. A test, number one, represents a trying time. Or it is when we are going through trials or tribulations. A test, again, equates a trying time. It also says that when we are going through a test, that it represents a challenging time. And we know tonight that the word test is singular, but in most cases, when it concerns some of us, we have to look at tests as being plural. Because it's not just one challenging thing, but it could be several challenging things. Come on. It could be several things that are trying you on tonight. Trying your faith. Trying your patience. Amen. And then it also has to do with a troublesome time. A very troublesome time. A time, a season, a day that is marked by adversity. When you deal with the word trouble, again, you're dealing with the day or the season of adversity or a troublesome time. And some of us tonight, we are going through some troublesome times. Yes, it is the year of rewards, but at the same time, for many, it is a troublesome time. And then finally, test represents battles. It represents that we are battling something. We are up against something. It suggests that something is opposing us. It is opposing us in reference to us staying in the will of God. And saints, we have to get accustomed to being in the will of God, yet having things and people opposing us or trying to get us out of the will of God. That's a part of it. Part of being in the will of God is that you're often met with things that are opposing you or trying to get you out of the will of God. But how many know we have to be dogged, we have to be determined, and we have to be tenacious about remaining in the will of God? Why is that, Pastor? Because the best place to be is in the will of who? The safest place to be is in the will of who? See, if we only believed that tonight and it wasn't just something we were saying, then you would always fight to stay in the will of God. Because you know, whatever is opposing you, trying to get you out of God's will, then at the same time, that thing is trying to get me out of the best place to be. It's trying to pull me out of the safest place to be. And if I get pulled out of being in the safest place, it pulls me into a dangerous place, a place that I have no business being in. Come on, church, a place that I know better. I've been here before, and this is not a good place. This is not a place that will bring rewards. This is not a place that will bring better into my life. And so I have to fight. I have to fight, and I have to again pass this test. Notice when it comes to passing a test, this is important. It means that I'm going to keep the faith. When you pass a test, it's saying about you or saying about me that I'm keeping the faith. I'm believing anyway. I'm believing anyhow. I'm staying again in the will of God. I have to keep the faith. You know, Paul talked about fighting the good fight of faith. Can't fight any kind of way, but my fight has to be one of a good fight where I am, again, church, determined to keep the faith. It also says that I'm holding on to my confidence. You know, the Hebrew writer talked about in Hebrew 10 and 35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great reward. Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. If I'm going to pass the test, I have to hold on to my confidence. Come on, church. I got to hold on to my confidence. Hebrew 10 and 35 teaches that our confidence in God, in the scriptures, are valuable. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great reward. If I hold on to my confidence, a reward is a guarantee. A reward is a guarantee. better is a guarantee. Come on. Something good will happen. Something wonderful will manifest. But I got to hold on to my confidence. My confidence is valuable. Being tried, but my confidence is valuable. Going through a challenge, but my confidence is valuable. And I got to pass this test. I can't afford to fail the test. Come on. I can't afford to fail the test. I'm going to say it again. I can't afford to fail the test. If that's you, I wish you repeat it. I can't afford to fail. I can't afford to what? Fail the test. That has to be your mentality. Notice what it means to fail a test. Notice what it means if we're failing a test. Notice 1 Peter on tonight. Notice the book of 1 Peter tonight. Notice 1 Peter. Now, this is why I say we're going to be able to quote some scriptures, but we need to put our eyes upon the scriptures. Notice 1 Peter 4. Notice 1 Peter 4. And let's pick it up at verse number 12. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. Do you have it? Remember, if you have to go to your table of contents, do so tonight. 1 Peter 4, 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, which is to test you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Beloved, do not think it strange, notice this, concerning the fiery trial, or I wouldn't be wrong tonight to say the fiery test, which is to try you or to test you. We're failing when we're being tested, but we're thinking strange. You know you're failing. I know I'm failing when I'm not just going through something challenging, but I'm thinking strange. Strange has to do with two things. Number one, I'm thinking abnormal. Or number two, I'm thinking wrong. My thinking is wrong. See, remember that strange behavior is a byproduct of strange thinking. Strange behavior is a byproduct of strange thinking. If I'm thinking strange, abnormal, or wrong, then my behavior, my attitude, or my choices will be wrong. Do you hear me? I'll make the wrong choice because I don't have the right mind. I'll choose the wrong thing because I have the wrong mindset. And sadly, that represents a lot of Christians. Not just going through something, trying, but thinking strange. Thinking, why me, instead of why not me? Come on. Why is this happening to me? Why not you? Come on, somebody. See, strange thinking leads to the wrong choices and the wrong behavior. How many times have we failed a test because our thinking was not where it needed to be? And that led to things not being according, listen to me carefully, God's plan. No way to have strange thinking and then look at your life and everything is being done decently and in order. Because how many know decency and in order is not just for the church, but our lives should signify things being done decently and in order. If you want to get out of order, have strange thinking. If you want to get out of the plan of God, just start thinking in ways that you have no business thinking. Start thinking in ways that you've been taught better. You know not to be there. You know to pull your mind up. You know your mind can't be in this place. You have to get your mind over here. Come on, church, because over here is where the reward is at. Over here is where your healing is at. Over here is where your promotion is at. So I got to move my mind. I got to adjust my mind. Come on, church, I got to work on my mind. You have to work on your mind. Because when we have abnormal or wrong thinking, besides God, nobody knows it like we do. Come on. Nobody knows that your thinking is off like you know. Listen, when you've been taught. When you have been taught. I mean, understand what I'm saying? See, we don't want strange thinking. Notice what he goes on to say. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Notice, as though something strange, something unusual, and that's how some would do. The moment trouble comes, we thinking this is unusual. We're thinking this shouldn't be happening to me. We're thinking I shouldn't be having to go through all of this. I went through something last week. I went through something a month ago. I shouldn't be going through something again. No. No. That's strange thinking. That's strange thinking. God will let us be in one trial, pull us out of that trial, only to put us in a hotter trial. Oh, somebody need to shout, show he right. He did it to you a couple of times. Pull you out of one thing, and before we could breathe, we was in something hotter. And then sometimes he won't pull you out of that, and then he'll turn up the heat in another area. Somebody know what I'm talking about. But notice carefully what he says in verse 13. He said, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though, see, don't think as though something strange is happening to you. You're a Christian. You're a child of God. This is a way of suffering. Oh, quiet guy. I think I got one and one amen. This is a way of suffering. I'm going to say it again until I get at least 20 amen. This is a way of suffering. Suffering is part of this life, of this walk. Come on. So why would I be thinking strange or thinking as though something strange has happened to me and it's a part of it? But notice what he said. But what? Rejoice. But what? Rejoice. See, that's a choice. That's a choice I have. I can think strange or I can rejoice. If I think strange, I'm failing. If I rejoice, I'm passing. If I can go through this and give God the praise, I'm passing this. I'm passing this. Let me say it another way. I'm handling this the way that I should. I'm not allowing it to steal my joy or my praise. Notice why that's important. James 1. James 1. Just flip back. James 1. See, he said, but rejoice. That's the alternative. Don't ever think, well, Pastor, I have no alternative but to think like this. No, you don't. You can rejoice. You can choose. You can make the choice to say, hey, I'm going to rejoice. Notice James 1 in verse 2. My brethren, notice the scripture. My brethren, or church, or saints, count it all what? Joy. Count it all what? Joy. How many never read that? How many have never read it? Hands up if you've never read that scripture. Okay, we got one, two, three folks in church tonight. I'm glad y'all here tonight. Let's read it again. See, that's where you don't take stuff for granted. You don't take nothing for granted. My brethren, count it all what? Joy. Those of you who have never read it, understand tonight, if you pass in the test, you counted it all joy. You're counting it all what? Joy. All of it is what? Joyful. I'm remaining happy. It's not stealing my joy. Come on. Because tests will steal your joy. Come on. Let me say it like this. A test, if you allow it, will wipe a smile clean off your face. and will plant a frown there. And people won't know why you went from smiling to frowning, but you do. Trouble. Trouble slapped the smile off your face. Anybody ever been just joyful until you got a call? Joyful until you went to the mail? Joyful until you read an email? Joyful until you heard back from the IRS? Filled with joy until they say, I'm done with your taxes. You had joy before you actually knew how much you owed them. And if you are not careful, you are in a way better place than you used to be. Come on, you have to teach this to say, folk will allow trouble, what they think is trouble, because it's really not trouble. You're going to understand in a minute. To wipe a smile off their face and plant a frown there. Well, Pastor, I'm not getting back a refund. Yeah, but you're not making $12,000 a year anymore. You are now making $60,000 plus. And so what if you owe $2,000? You still way ahead. And you got to know how to rejoice when things are better. Though things are trying to enter your mind and say it's worse. No, no way it can be worse. No way it can be worse. But if you don't have the right perspective, that smile will cease to be. And some of us, we ask God for certain things. Lord, if you just allow me to make over $50,000 a year, I'll give you the prayer. See, you didn't realize that making that meant it was going to do away with your little refund. Come on. But it's a matter of your perspective. Now, you can always keep complaining until God take you back to $12,000 and you're back getting your $4,000 refund. See, but notice what he said. He said, count it all joy. Notice when, saints. Notice when. Count it all joy when everything goes your way. See, for some of us, that's what it needs to say, because that's the only time you will count it all joy. But that's not what the scripture says, is it? What does the scripture say? My brethren, count it all joy when you what? Fall. When you what? Fall. Now, whether you're talking spiritually or naturally, or especially, I should say, from a natural standpoint, it's never good to fall. Nobody wants to fall. Come on, come on, what my saints say. And the older you get, you showing up, don't want to fall. That's the last thing you want to do is fall, is take a spill. Am I right? The older you get, you don't even want to play falling. That ain't even fun no more. Falling ain't even. Come on, because even if you don't get hurt in the fall, it's the getting back up that's. And so right now, this letter has to be messing with the mind of the brethren. Because he's saying, count it all joy when you fall, notice, into various trials or tests. You got to count it all what? Joy. Who got to do it? You got to do it. Pat yourself and say, I got to do that. Tell yourself, that's my responsibility, not my pastor's. Pat yourself and say, not my friend. That's your responsibility to count it all what? Joy. Not your mama. You have to do that. I have to work at doing this. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Listen, church, of various tests. Knowing, somebody shout knowing. Somebody shout knowing. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. Gives us the ability to endure or persevere. Gives us the ability to keep going. Gives me the ability to not give up, give in, or give out. When you can persevere, when you can endure, you don't give up. You don't give in and you don't give out. That's when you're winning, if you're taking note, when you can keep your knowing. If you lose your knowing, you're failing the test. Because you are now without something that's very valuable. You have to keep your knowing. Going through a challenging time, going through some trying times, but I have to know. I have to know that the testing of my faith produces patience. We learn to endure through trials. That's what the scriptures teach. That trials teach us how to endure. If you're going to learn how to keep going, at some point, God must allow some tests to come, listen, your way. To come to your house. He must allow it to take place. Notice Romans 8 and 28. Y'all hanging in here tonight? Anybody being helped? I got to pass what? I got to pass this test. Notice Romans. Oh, y'all know where I'm going. You know where I'm going. You know where I'm going tonight. See, everybody in church tonight ain't passing. I said, everybody in church ain't passing. And like a teacher once told me, you might want to study because you can't grade yourself. I mean, no, it's easier to pass any test when you get degraded. Come on, because some of us going to give ourselves an A no matter what. You know you ain't handling that right. You try, I'm doing the best I can. No, give yourself an F. Well, God, no, I'm doing the best I can. Go and give yourself an F. Because your voice is cracking and you're crying. And he told you plainly, don't cry over that no more. Come on. God ever told anybody that about something trying? Don't cry over this again. If you start crying, and where can you go and cry and hide? See, if I told you don't cry over that no more, you can fool me. You can just be done been bawling and squalling in your car and then clear up your eyes with some, I can't even think what to put in your eye drops and such. Yeah, your Visine. Yeah, I started to say Vaseline. Your Visine. Listen, put it in your eyes, come in church. Everybody thinking, oh man, she's doing wonderful. No, she's not. But see, we can't hide from God. And when God says stop crying over it, he mean don't cry at church. He mean don't cry at the house. God is in your private bedroom saying, don't cry in here. Don't cry over that. Notice Romans 8 and 28, because this is so important. Y'all got it? Yes. And notice what Paul said. And we know, and we what?
No.
And we what?
No.
Notice what we know. That all things work together for what?
Good.
To those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. Love is evident through obedience. If you love me, keep my what? Commandments. And we know that all things work together for the what?
Good.
For the what?
Good.
How many things?
All.
How many things?
All.
That means the test. Even that which is trying has to work for my good. Even that, Senior Minister Gamma, which is challenging has to work for my good. That means I'm passing. That means it's working for me. Come on. What does it mean to fail? I've lost my knowing. I'm now looking at this thing in a way that I shouldn't be looking at it. Come on, let's take it further. I'm now dealing with this test in a way that I shouldn't be dealing with it. Oh, let's flip it. I'm allowing it to deal with me in a way that it shouldn't be dealing with me. Come on, God wants us to get so mature. It's going to hit somebody hard. He wants us to get so mature that it's challenging. It's a trying time. But don't let it mess with your sleep. Don't allow it to keep you up. Don't allow it to affect your health. You know, when we don't handle things right, it can affect your sleep and it can affect a person's health. All headaches don't have the same cause. Some headaches come because we're overly concerned and have too much on our minds that we can't deal with. And we're not casting the care, we're carrying the care. Come on. So Tylenol, really, if you think about it, won't help that headache. Because you can keep popping Tylenols, but you're not passing the test. Even to the point to where you can go through certain things and God don't even want it on your mind. He don't want you to spend all day thinking about that. Because that means that I'm overly concerned. Uh-oh. That gets into worrying. Am I right? I don't want to get too far into that. But notice what he said in Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for what? Good. All things work together for what? Good. Let's go back to Job 23. Let's go back to Job 23 on tonight. It's working for my what? Good. It's working for my what? Anybody ever had a test work for your good? Anybody ever had a trial work for your good? Yeah, there's some, but we should have raised our hand. You done had things work for your good. It was very trying, but when it was all said and done, it worked for you. It helped you. It was a benefit to you. It improved your life. Who could have thought something challenging would improve my life? But that's the God that we serve, where he'll take something challenging and use it to improve or better your life. Watch this, or to better your situation. Notice Job 23:10. Notice Job now. Remember, we talked about if I keep my knowing, I'm passing the test. If I lose my knowing, a better word for it, if I allow something to steal my knowing, because y'all do understand the trouble, demons can't take our knowing. Come on. The devil ain't been given that much power. Demons haven't been given that much authority. A demon can't just take my knowing. Come on. Because they teach like that in some church where ain't nothing you can do because there's a demon. No. No, that's the reason I like to look at it as allowing something to steal my knowing. Because the enemy ain't powerful enough to take it. The enemy ain't powerful enough to take your confidence and you're walking according to the scripture and you're not going to cast it away. He wants you to cast it away. He wants you to give up. He wants you to give in. He wants you to talk a certain way. He wants you to think a certain way. Am I right? And many of us, again, before I go into the meat of the word, once we know we're not thinking the way we need to, if we don't correct that, now we're making choices we don't need to make. Now our attitude is wrong. You don't even have the right attitude now. That's what that trouble is doing. Amen? That's what that test is doing. Now notice Job 10:23-10. Y'all hang in here because I'm in the conclusion. But he knows the way that I what? He knows the way that I what? If you're taking note, Job understood the omniscience of God. He knew this about God. He knew that the Most High was all knowing, or he knew that the Most High knows everything. This is so important. He knew that. Job said he knows the way that I take. What Job was saying was that not only does God know what I'm going through, but God knows that I'm striving to handle it properly. He knows the way that I take. You remember what Jesus said, I believe, with Matthew 6:32, in reference to people worrying about what they was going to eat, what they was going to drink, what they was going to wear. Remember what Jesus taught his disciples from the beginning? He said, for your heavenly Father, come on, church, knows that you need what? All these things. Job knew that God was not just sovereign, listen to me, but that he had complete control over his entire situation. See, you can't afford to lose that type of a mindset. That in the midst of all that I'm dealing with, God know the way that I take. He know exactly what's happening. He know exactly how trying it is. He know exactly how challenging it is. And he knows that I'm striving to please him in the midst of it all. He knows that I'm still praying. He knows that I'm still in the word. He knows that I'm still tithing. He knows that I'm still striving to be obedient. He knows I'm letting my thoughts line up with the word. He knows. Somebody ought to shout tonight. He knows. He what? He knows. Now remember, notice what he then says. When he has tested me. When he has tested me. See, if you're taking note, mark down again that in all that Job is going through, like Paul, he has the right perspective. Remember, we've been talking about having the right perspective. He has it, saints. Job's got it. Listen how he's talking. Now, you got to consider all that he was going through. Come on. If you don't know the story of Job, then this may not mean as much. But if you know the story of Job, in particular, the first couple of chapters, then you know this man has the right perspective. The Sabians have came in raiding, killing, stealing, and destroying. Then the Chaldeans came in, killing, stealing, and destroying. Then the storm came and killed his children. He lost cattle. He's lost oxen. Come on, somebody. His spouse is acting foolish, and his friend showed up to help, but ain't doing nothing but hurting. And in all of this, this man has the right perspective. How can I be dealing with a couple of things and have the wrong perspective, yet I got an example that I could just as easily have the right perspective? See, some of us are settling for having the wrong perspective, thinking that we can't have the right. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. It's challenging, but you can have the right perspective. It's hurting. Remember, Job was going through physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, family. Probably nobody in church is getting hit in all of those areas at the same time. But he was. He was. If you're taking notes, we know he has the right perspective, because notice who Job knows is in charge. You got to listen to how he says it. When he has tested me, when he has this is all about God. This is between me and God. Me keeping my faith. Me keeping the right perspective. Notice Job doesn't give the Sabians, the Chaldeans, or anything coming at him. He gives none of them credit. Job said, when he has tested me. We go back to the Hebrew boys. They were unwilling to bow because though Nebuchadnezzar seemingly was in charge of the furnace, God was in charge of whether or not it burns. Some of you didn't get that. Nebuchadnezzar was seemingly, and I put seemingly there, in charge of the furnace. He was seemingly in charge of the temperature. Able to say to them, Sister Bolton, heat it up 7 times more than what is normally heated. Because I want to make an example out of these boys. But yet when he throwed him in, God had to remind Nebuchadnezzar, look, I ultimately control whether or not it hurt my people. See, God is in control with how much a child does, for how long it does. That's how you pass tests. By knowing that ultimately God is in control of every aspect of what happens in this situation. Not your doctor. Not your x-ray. Not your exam. Not the study on what your battling has did to hundreds of other people. No, you got to know he knows the way that I take. And if God doesn't want this to do to me what it did to my aunt, then it won't. Come on, I said then it won't. If he wants it to do more to me than it did to her, yet keep me alive and she died with it, so be it. I'm teaching good tonight. I'm teaching good tonight. See, some of us, we lose all of this. That's how we fail tests. That's how I used to fail them. Thinking that somehow God has lost control of the situation. You know, because I'm looking at how it's twisting and it's turning, how it's hurting me and affecting me. Y'all do know you can go through the same thing, but they'll put a twist on it. Don't just say period about every child. Well, I've been through this before. Yeah, I've been through this before, but this got a twist on this time. Do you feel me? But when we start feeling like somehow God is no longer in complete control, and some crazy folk teach you that God is not in control of all things. But he is. This is the wording. Listen carefully. This is why he can word it like this. When he has tested me. When he has tested me. Now remember the conversation that took place between the devil and or Satan and God. As far as we know biblically, Job is not privileged to that information. Come on. The Bible never tells us that he knew the conversation. It never tells us that God allowed him to know the conversation. But we know the conversation. And the conversation went like this. Satan, you can do this, 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 and this. But his life, come on, his life you can't have. And look at somebody and say, God only had to say it one time. You can do all of this, but his life. His life, that's where I draw the line. And you remember when the enemy started attacking Job, at the beginning, he blamed God that you ain't allowing me to do enough to him. He'll curse you to your face. He'll fail the test if you let me do certain things. That's what, you remember what Job said? Job said, look, God, you got a hedge around me. You know, a hedge meant that Satan recognizes you are protecting him on every side. Let me in and he'll curse you. Let me in, he'll quit. Come on, church. Notice this. Oh, Lord. I done got real excited. When he has tested me, the word will do that to you. Then notice what Job said. I shall come forth as what?
Gold.
As what?
Gold.
As what?
Gold.
Now don't worry about pure gold. Gold. Because at this time, the only thing they dealt with was pure gold. He ain't talking about no 10, no 14, 18. No. Job is saying, when I come forth, I'm going to be right. I'm going to be better. Now listen, this is when all this is hitting him. This how he talking. Tell me he ain't passing the test. How you talk determines whether or not you are passing what you going through tonight. How are you talking? What's coming out of your mouth? What are you saying about that trial? Job was saying this test is going to cause me, listen, to shine. You know gold shines. Gold shines. Copper will shine when you clean it. And then copper goes back to being dull. Come on. Gold keeps its shine. Come on. Because gold, in order to be this type gold, has to be purified. See, the test purifies. The test comes to burn off everything that's not of God. The test comes to purify my thoughts, to purify my talk, to get me right in the sight of God. And that's the reason tests be working on us. Come on, tests be working on us, getting us to drop this and add this. Let this go and bring this in. Tests be working on you. And some of you sitting there looking like you ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. You are failing. Do you hear me? Because tests work on you. Tests let you know sometimes you're not praying enough. We closing. Notice what he says. I shall come forth as what? As what? Job, you got to be hurting right now. I'm looking past the hurt. This has to be painful, Job. I'm looking past the pain. And I'm looking at how I'm going to come forth when it's all over. When he has tested me. If you're taking notes, God is too good to allow a test to last forever. When it's over, when it's all said and done, I'm coming forth. Listen, like gold. But I gotta pass this test. One of the most important things we have to do to pass tests is that we have to speak life. You have to speak life. Daily, you have to speak life. Let me show you what he did. He said, I shall come forth as what? Gold. Notice Job 42. Because I want y'all to receive something tonight. That maybe I never said it this way. But when it comes to Job 42, Job spoke that into existence. Job 42. This is the chapter everybody talk about. This is where everybody want to be. Everybody want to be in Job 42. Come on. Yeah, you do. You finna get. Everybody want the Job 42. But we can't have the Job 42 without the Job 23. Do y'all understand it? We can't have Job 42 unless we pass the test like Job knew in Job 23. He speaks this into existence, and I'm finished. Because we know Proverbs 18 and 21 said death and life are in the power of what? The tongue. Notice Job speaks it. Job 42. He said, I shall come forth as what? Gold. I shall come forth as what? Gold. Do y'all know why God given us this tonight? Because if we pass the test of what we're going through tonight, saints, we have the ability to speak what is going to happen. What is going to happen? If I stay faithful in my giving, would it seem like I'm struggling to hold on to, I'm going to outright own it. God going to give me the ability to pay it in full. See, you got to talk. Right now. You got to talk right now. You got to talk it right now. You got to talk it right now. Lord, you know I'm battling to make this rent. But this rent is going to go to being rent to being mortgage. I'm going into ownership. I'm going to get in there before this year ends. I'm coming into that. You have to pass the test by speaking what is going to happen. Don't wait, the songwriter said, till the battle is over. Shout now. Dance now. Praise now. Talk now. Don't wait till it's over to talk. Talk now. Talk big in it. Do y'all feel me? Talk big in it. Look at somebody and shout to them, get to talking right now. And look at that same person saying, talk the right stuff. Now look at three people and tell him or her, talk the right stuff. And some of you sitting there acting all cool, all collective, I come to tell you, when you fail tests, you ruin your life. You jack up your life. You delay your blessing. Pass that test so you can get your blessing. Notice Job 42. We got to go. Job 42 and 12. Now the Lord bless the latter days of Job more than his what? Y'all ain't even there. Job 42, 12. I'm trying to close this thing right tonight. I got four folks in the church in Job 42, 12. Y'all got it now? Now the Lord bless the latter days of Job more than his what? More than his what? You remember when I said Sunday, my best days are ahead of me. See, I be talking Bible even when some of you don't recognize it. You look strange when I say stuff. That's what Job was saying. Him coming forth like gold meant that God would bless his latter days more than his beginning. Do y'all feel that tonight? Do anybody in Bible study feel like if you pass these tests, that your latter days will be greater than your former days? That's something to get happy about. I know I got to get out of here, but that's something to shout about. That's something that will, you remember what I said earlier, how trouble slaps a smile off and paints a frown? That word right there will slap a frown off and paint a smile. A permanent smile. A permanent smile. Look at somebody and say, this smile ain't going away. Testify to somebody. Tell them this smile ain't going away. Look at them and say, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it. And they sure can't take it away. Come on, look at somebody and say, this joy that I have, the job didn't give it. And it sure can't take it away. Tell somebody, this joy that I have, the bank didn't give it. And they sure can't take it away. This joy that I have, the doctor didn't give it. And the doctor can't take it away. Come on, somebody. Come on, church. Come on, refuge. Year of rewards. Tell some more folk, this smile ain't going away. Like it did last time. You may get home, somebody cutting up at the house. You need to look at them, tell them, look, your nasty attitude, this smile ain't going nowhere. This smile ain't going nowhere. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. Remember them children he lost? He also had 7 sons, 3 daughters. Called the name of the first Jeremiah, the name of the second Kizia, and the name of the third Korean Hoppacha. In all the land, look at these beautiful girls. In all the land, this is what the Bible wants us to know. In all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job. You know how man is by their daughter. They said nobody daughter was as beautiful as Job's daughter. Have you seen Job's daughter? How did he get them beautiful daughters? He passed the test. God gonna put some beautiful things in our lives. Oh, teach it right, pal. I don't need no more daughters, but I need some beautiful things. I'm teaching it right. I don't want no more daughters, but I want some beautiful things. I don't want no more son, except they spiritual. So, and their father gave them an inheritance among their what, brother? After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children. Looked like he was going to die, senior minister Gamble. But the Bible said, no, he saw his children and his grandchildren. 4 generations. When it looked like he would see no more generation, God said, you're going to see four generations. Come on. So Job died. This is it. This is it. I'm done. He died full of days. Tell your neighbor, when you pass tests. When you do die. Tell your neighbor, because all of us got to leave here. But tell them, when you do die. When you pass tests. You die full of days. Tell your neighbor, you die full of days. Three things. Fulfill and satisfy. You die, number two, having maximized your life. Having enjoyed life to its fullness. Close right, Pastor. Finally, full of days mean when it is my time. And I leave here, Sister Melissa. I leave here, Refuge of Noonan. Let's do our talk. I leave here full of days, meaning, Minister Wright, I didn't leave nothing on the table. Everything God wanted me to do, I did it. Everything he wanted me to have, I had it. Look at your neighbor and say, pass the test. So you don't leave nothing on the table.